Good morning. It's great to be together. I noticed there are a few more here than last week when the hail was dropping on us. It was quite a day. The storms, they come and they make a big difference in our lives, don't they? And of course, in the past week, we've experienced not just the weather storms that have passed through, but we've become quite aware of other storms that are raging among us, between us in many cases. So it's appropriate for us to come together this morning. It always is, but maybe especially so this morning, to come and bow ourselves before our Creator God and ask for help, ask for perspective. Would you pray with me? Lord God, we do come on this morning with thanks. We come and bow humbly before you. Humbled, O God, by our recognition, even in recent days, of how for all of our capacities, our knowledge, hailstorms and tornadoes come, and we haven't figured out how to stop them. We've noticed, Lord God, how racism and how our attempts at a just and merciful and compassionate society, for all of our good intentions, we continue to fall short. We cry out to you, O God, help. Help us. Help our neighbors. Guide us on our way, on your way indeed, because our ways don't seem to be getting us anywhere closer to the true peace we long for. So even this morning, Lord, as we come and we acknowledge the sin of our world and the trouble of our world and acknowledge our own part in that, we pray that you would shine your light on the path you would have us walk, and that you would empower us by your Holy Spirit to walk, to go forward on the pathway of peace, the pathway that you, Lord Jesus, would lead us on. Speak to us now and guide our steps to your glory. To our neighbor's good, we pray in Jesus' name, amen. So last week actually was a phenomenal week. We had such a great time. We had a dedication up here during this service that was just such a gift to the whole community. And then we had four baptisms out at the entryway to the church. We had placed the hot tub under the entryway, under that awning, just in case it might still be raining. And things dried off. It was just a wonderful celebration of the gift of God's love among ourselves. So if you missed it, I'm sorry for that. I'm sorry also because you missed another step on our series this month of Mission Possible. And I think maybe today more than ever, following this past week, we might be thinking that the mission God's given us is actually impossible. That the challenges that we face are just insurmountable. The demons, so to speak, that still lurk among us are too strong, and it's hard for us to find our way forward. For all of our good intentions, we continue to stumble. How is it that we can make our way forward? And part of what we're here to declare this morning is that this is a mission possible. We need to remember that, especially when things get dark and ugly. Would you say that with me? This is a mission possible. Would you say that with me? This is a mission possible. And so last week we talked about what that mission is, and Jesus says at the end of the Gospel of Matthew, go and make disciples of all nations. baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. Remember, I'm with you always to the close of the age. And so we talked last week about how important it is amongst the many important things and good things for us to do in the world as a church, as individuals, for us to stay clear about what our central mission is, that we want to invite people into the fellowship of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism signifies. That before the creation of the world, God wanted this love and this joy that the Trinity shares with one another to be shared with others. And so our mission is to invite people into that fellowship, that joy of life and of love that we experience when we're reconciled to God and in God become reconciled to one another. And we want to teach people, one another and others, to follow Jesus' way because that's how we live in that joyful life that God invites us to live. That's our mission, is to invite people into the fellowship that we have experienced with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, to invite people to live that life that they were created to live together. Knowing what our mission is crucial, and remembering that day by day and week by week. But there's another thing that's really important too, and that's how in the world do we not just know what our mission is, but start moving forward with that? How do we live into this mission that God gives us? And today's passage from Matthew chapter 9 into chapter 10 is the story of where Jesus takes his first 12 disciples and helps them turn the corner into becoming what the Bible calls apostles, that is, those who are sent. That it's great for us to come to church and say, I want to learn about God, I want to love God, I want to be loved by God, I want to enjoy the fellowship. But coming as disciples to learn and to follow is just the beginning. What God wants us to do is turn this corner where we become a part of his sent people, sharing his love in the world, inviting others into that fellowship too. And so today's passage is that turning point for the first disciples. They're going to spend the rest of their lives just like us, learning all that this means. But right here in the Gospel of Matthew, we find this turning point because up to this point, Jesus has been doing the ministry, the mission. He's been curing the sick and the diseased. He's been casting out demons. He's been performing miracles. He's been teaching. He's been proclaiming the good news. He's been doing it all, and the disciples have been following him and watching in amazement, and they've been learning, no doubt. But now Jesus is going to get them to start joining him in this mission, just as Jesus wants to invite you and me to join him in this mission. So let's read the passage, and then we'll go through it and pick out some of the key points that we can take home to help us turn this corner into not just being disciples of Jesus, but ambassadors, apostles for Jesus. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Philip and Bartholomew. Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector. James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus. Simon the Cananean. And Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. So let's take a look at this for just a moment. The turning point begins when Jesus looks out at the crowds with compassion. He's been doing this ministry, but he's looking out at the crowds, at this harvest, and he invites the disciples to turn with him toward that crowd, toward the people and the society around them. This is the beginning for us also of joining with Jesus in the mission. Donald Frisk, who's a theologian, he was a teacher at North Park Seminary, a man who's written a number of books and is now gone from us. He actually grew up here at Salem. This is one of the things I love about Salem Covenant Church, is if you look back on our history, we've got a lot of people who have grown up here like our kids are doing today, been taught the scriptures, invited to this into this life of prayer and of service, and have gone on to serve around the world in all kinds of capacities. Don Frisk is one of those. And I still remember reading a book of his my first year in seminary called The New Life in Christ. And one of the things he says in that book that I just love is to be converted to Christ is always, in a sense, to be converted, or that is turned toward the world. To be converted to Christ is always, in a sense, to be converted to the world. It is to see the world through the eyes of Christ, to share his compassion, to perceive his will for the world, and to strive to follow it. This is a crucial point for us. We often think about conversion, about becoming a Christian, as turning toward God. It's this repentance where we turn from our own ways and we turn toward God. But there's more to it than that. And I pray that we'll hear that this morning and take that home. That when we turn to Jesus, we begin to turn with him toward the world. Does that make sense? We follow his eyes as he begins to look with us out at the crowds. We no longer, and Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at our next door neighbor as we used to look at our next door neighbor. We now look at our next door neighbor. Whether that person's really easy to live with or really hard to live with, doesn't matter. We look at that person with Jesus Christ, through the eyes of Jesus Christ. We no longer look at our neighbors living down the street or across the road or in another section of town. We no longer look at them as we once looked at them. We now look at other people through the eyes of Jesus Christ. This is crucial for us to catch on to. As we look at the news this past week and we see the divisions that are so still evident among us, we need to ask God to help us turn with him to see people as he sees them, as human beings, with the same kind of needs and longings and fears and anxieties that we have. People who want their children to have opportunity, want their children to be safe, want their families to be able to succeed in this society. That's all we're asking for, they say. We need to see them as human beings with the same kind of longings that we have. We need to look at those of different faiths or different nationalities through the eyes of Jesus Christ. You know that Jesus was around a long time before our nation was here, before our division started dividing us up the ways they do. And he looks with compassion upon us and upon our neighbors near and far. We need to turn, be converted fully, heart, mind, soul, and spirit, to be converted, to turn with Jesus, to see our world with his eyes. That word compassion is crucial for us and for our world. As we turn with Jesus, There's no question that the next step that Jesus calls his disciples to do and calls us to do, and it makes all the sense in the world. He says, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. You know, the harvest is plentiful. And often that's especially true when things are difficult, when life is challenging. People are longing, looking, crying out for a pathway forward, looking for good news in the midst of all the bad news that they're hearing, that they're seeing, that they're experiencing. And we need to ask the Lord of the harvest to send out people into this world who will help us work through our challenges, learn how to love one another, practice justice and mercy in our relationships with one another. We need people to go out into our neighborhoods and into our society, into our schools, and to practice the principles of the scriptures of love and compassion, of mercy, of justice, of peace. We need people to go and do these things in society, and we need to ask God to send those people. And I'm serious about us doing that. Would you join me in doing that this week? Ask God, send laborers, Lord. We desperately need people. In fact, I'm going to ask you to pray with me right now. This is out of our hymnal. I'll give you a line to say. Compassionate God, deliver us. Would you say that with me? Compassionate God, deliver us. One more time. Compassionate God, deliver us. So when I look up, I would invite you from your heart to pray, compassionate God, deliver us. Oh God, sovereign of the universe, without you nothing is true, nothing is just. In your word, you reveal the way of love. By your spirit, you make it possible. Compassionate God, deliver us from greed and selfishness. From a society in which the rich get richer and the poor get poorer. From racial prejudice and religious intolerance. From a society which makes its weakest and most recent members into scapegoats. From indifference to the needs of other countries. From the delusion that you love any other nation less than you love us. From self-indulgence and from indifference, from a society in which fidelity and responsibility have little place. Author of life, give us hearts that are set on the coming of your reign. Give us wise, just, and humble leaders. Give all who live in this land a will to live in peace. Through Jesus Christ, the one who is above all powers and dominions. And all God's people said, amen. I want to invite you to join me this week more than ever in crying out to God, asking God to deliver us. Asking God to send people into our schools and our neighborhoods, onto the streets that we live in, into our cities and into our nation and into our world. I want you to pray with me, God, send people. Send laborers into the harvest, your harvest. And I'd invite you to keep in mind that as soon as the disciples are told to pray that, Jesus says to them, by the way, you are the answer to these prayers. By the way, Peter and Andrew, James and John. By the way, Mark Patty and John Afonso. Put your name in there. You are the answer to this prayer. God's intention is to work through you. And so the call for us as we cry out to God, as we ask, is to respond to God's call, his cry back to us and his compassion to come to him. to listen to him, to join in with him. We need to respond to God's call in our lives. Our world desperately needs us to respond. Not just for somebody else out there to do this, but for us right here to do this. Each and every one of us. I love how this passage names each one of these disciples. Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew. They're quite different. If you read the scripture, you find these are two very different people. James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. Two very different people. The list goes on. Very different people. Matthew, the tax collector, he works for the culture, the society, the Roman Empire. And there's Simon, the Canaanite, the zealot, the one who is working to undermine it, who's willing to stab people, as many of the zealots were. I don't know if that's true of Simon, but that was what they were known for, was that they were rebels against the society, against the Roman Empire. Jesus calls each one of them and each one of us to be a part of the answer, to notice that the society and our neighbors are harassed and feeling helpless, that despair is rampant, that we're not sure this mission is possible. And God calls us to show the world that it is possible, to be a part of the possible taking place by the power of his Holy Spirit, which leads me to the next point, that as we respond to God's call, as we say, here am I, Lord, send me, that we need to take the time to receive the authorization, the empowerment of God, that we need to take the time to come here on Sunday mornings, even in the summer, thank you for being here, to worship, to be reminded, to look to God's word. We need, I can't tell you how frequently this happens, that I'm kind of caught up in the challenges of life, the insecurities or the anxieties, and I make the time to sit still with God, to pray, to open up the scriptures, and to listen to God's word. And God feeds me. I receive some clarity in the midst of the clouds, some strength in the midst of what I was feeling like weakness to me. God answers this prayer, and again, I have the blessing of receiving God's very presence, what I need to take my next step, to go forward. And the disciples needed this. We need this. Jesus says at the end of the Gospel of Luke, wait until you have been clothed with power from on high. And we too need to receive this power from on high, this word from on high, and allow it to empower us to go out to do this great work in the world. The next line, the next thing is we think about how we move from being just disciples of Jesus to being apostles for Jesus, is this word aim. I both love and am troubled a bit by how Jesus gives the disciples instructions about how to go about this mission. Did you notice that? These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. What? Jesus, I thought you loved everybody. God, don't you love everybody? What about the Gentiles? What about the Samaritans? Why would Jesus just send them to the lost sheep of the house of Israel? I struggle with that personally because as a church, we're always like, what's our mission? What are we supposed to be doing? We want to do this. We want to do that. We want to do this. We want to do it. I want to do it all. Let's just do it all, okay? I struggle with this because I talk to other pastors or I see on Facebook or wherever it is, well, there are churches around us right in this neighborhood and certainly in the Twin Cities and certainly around the country and around the world that are doing amazing things for Jesus Christ, for God in this world. And I look and I say, oh, wow, maybe we should be doing that. And I've got to wrestle with, should we? But you know this. I'm one of the people who has a hard time figuring this out. We can't do everything. God's not calling Mark Patty or even Salem Covenant Church to do everything. We need to ask God, what is it you're calling me to do at this point in my life? What is it you're calling us to do as a congregation at this point in our life together? Because We're not going to change the world all at once by just running scattered across the country. God aims his people. And you see this with Paul, who's sent to the Gentiles. You see this with James, who is in Jerusalem and leading the church there. You see this when Jesus sends different disciples in different specific directions. And for us too, we need to pray and listen as God aims us in specific ways. According to the gifts that God's given you, the interests, passions that he's laid on your heart. For us as a church, we're blessed in certain particular ways here, and we need to run with those gifts and those that direction that God gives us. We look at VBS this coming week, Vacation Bible School. I'm actually struggling with the fact that we're having to turn people away. And it's a great problem to have. As we look toward the fall, we're going to have that and more. We're seeing more and more families and children coming into our fellowship, and we thank God for that. But I got to tell you, if we don't have more people step up to volunteer into leadership or into just serving, we won't be able to keep going with the way God is blessing and guiding us right now. It's true in youth ministry. This is true in our mission and service work in the community. I could go on with that, but you get the idea? We're not going to be called to do everything. We want to support and encourage other churches that are being called to different ministries, but ours, it's very clear right now. God is calling us to turn our attention from just taking care of who we've got here to caring for the children, the neighbors, the world around us. This is a critical point in the life of Salem Covenant Church. We need to turn with Jesus to see the world in which we live, to see our neighbors as real people who, like those birds in the backyard, are singing, "Come and see the love of God. Come and taste how good God is." We need to aim ourselves. And who is it maybe God is placing on your heart and your mind that you could reach out to extend that fellowship of God with, befriend in the world? I've mentioned to you how for me, one of the key things I feel God is doing in terms of aiming me, and I believe this is true for Salem on a larger context, is God has been calling me to reach across to connect, befriend people who come from different backgrounds than I do, who face different challenges than I do. That I need, God's calling me, to get to know people. I know that as I build relationships with people, it changes me. Every friendship I have makes me a little bit different. And so I want to warn you, if you do what Jesus talks about here, going out to befriend people in his name, it's going to change you a bit. Your perspective might shift a little bit. You might have a little different understanding of the challenges that we're facing as a society, or of what it means for you to live as a faithful follower of Jesus. It's going to change you. And I got to tell you, your relationship with people in a genuine, honest friendship is going to change them too. That they will come to know that there are Christians, followers of Jesus, who care, who love, who want to let you know the kingdom of heaven has come near. And that this mission, this challenge that we're facing is not impossible, but we actually have hope because Jesus has risen from the dead. And the boundary lines have been broken down between us. And God calls us to go out and befriend people who are different, who see things different, to reach across the aisles, to reach across through our neighborhoods, and to not only proclaim that the kingdom of heaven has come near, but to be a part of the kingdom of heaven coming near. And so this whole passage ends with Jesus saying, go. He sends them out. And he says, you're going to be like sheep among wolves. Things are going to be difficult. You watch what happens to me. I'm going to die on a cross. And guess what? As you go out, you will face challenges too. But you got to go. This is the call. This is the mission. And it is possible. Not because you're so great. Not because you might not die. But because God is so great. And nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that God has overcome even death itself. Amen. So by God's grace, will you join me this week, this day? Who is it that God's placing before you? Where is it that God's calling you to go in his name as an ambassador of his grace, of his kingdom? May we go in the name of Jesus. As friends of God, befriending this world, these people God loves so much. Would you pray with me? Lord, we thank you that you have done everything, given your very life, that we might be friends of yours. By your Holy Spirit, grant us the grace, the drive, the power, the love, the compassion to go out and befriend others in your name and to lead others into the friendship that we share, the fellowship that we enjoy with you and with one another, to the glory of God. To the good, O God, of our neighbors and of our world. We pray in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen.